morning, everybody, or afternoon or evening, depending on what it is where you are. This is Michelle, of course. This is June 13th, 2019, and this is our second call in the Loving Kindness series. And I want to say a special welcome. She's only going to be listening in the recording, but special welcome to Barb. She is our newest member of our community, and I just hung up the phone, the Zoom call with her 10 minutes ago or less. So welcome, Barb. So great to see you here, and we'll see you here live next week. So we are going to begin as we always do in Shavasana so that we can find that spaciousness, find that breath, find that quiet space inside of us. And that is the place that the most embodied words come from, the best vision comes from, but we don't try to do anything in Shavasana. All we're doing is creating space. It's a place where we stop doing and just move into a place of being, a place of knowing. The knowing comes from that place, a place where there's only the breath and not all that other stuff that distracts us in our day. So find a comfortable place to begin and where you can lie down. And if you're driving, please pull over. If you are not in a place where you can lie down, then you can just do a seated meditation through this time. Make sure there's space around you, so don't be bumping into desks or furniture or walls. Make sure there's space. And let there be a pillow or a blanket beneath the head and shoulders, but maybe beneath the head and neck, but not beneath the shoulders, so that the forehead is higher than the chin. That allows the mind to become quiet. And you can hear my mind isn't quiet because I'm so excited, having just been with Barb just minutes before this call. So excited for her journey with us, and so excited for all of us as Barb joins us. So let me take a moment to take a breath myself and do the work here in Shavasana of getting centered, getting grounded. Bend the knees for a moment and take the flesh of the buttocks, move that flesh of the buttocks toward the heels so that you're lengthening through the low back. Then extend one leg out and then the other and release the legs to the floor. Release the arms to the floor. And if you choose, you can dig the elbows into the floor, point the fingertips to the ceiling so you can lift and open the heart center, drawing the shoulder blades strongly into the back. Open the heart. This is the Loving Kindness series. And so we actually physically make that action. We do that in our bodies. We physically open our hearts and then release the arms to the floor. The arms are about 30 degrees away from the body, palms up so that the shoulders are open. And the thumbs are equidistant from the floor. So the backs of the hands hit the floor the same way. And the same with the heels. The backs of the heels, they're touching the same amount on the side of the foot, each leg. Adjust so you can find that symmetry, that balance. Balance is right internal to the body. And these things, we don't have control over a number of things in our lives, but this we can have control over. This we can align, this we can do. The head is on straight. Again, forehead higher than the chin, so the mind can become quiet. Softly close the eyes if you haven't yet. Feel the breath. Feel the ease of breath in this moment. Letting go of whatever came before, unimportant right now. Letting go of whatever's to come, it's just a thought. It's just a dream. It's not tangible or real other than in this moment. Be here. With this breath. This part of this breath. Here and now. And if there's anything that you're holding in your heart center right now, anything of heaviness or worry or preoccupation, just with each breath, with each exhalation, just let that go. Not needed here. Unimportant. Just not even paying attention to it because you're just focused on the breath. Let it go. And with each inhalation, so exhaling, letting go of all that, whatever it is, doesn't matter. With each inhalation, inhaling spaciousness, inhaling ease, inhaling love, love and kindness, something of connection and beauty and joy. Exhaling, letting go. Inhaling with gratitude, ease, spaciousness, joy. Whichever one of those words resonates with you, choose that. Inhale that. Be that. Loving kindness is not a thing, it's a practice and a state of being. It's a practiced state of being. Watch the breath. Notice any restlessness of the mind. Notice anything that pulls away from this moment. Can you just be here? Without judgment, without boredom, without tension, just being. Watch the breath. And then letting go of Shavasana just as easily as you came in. It begins just with a thought that soon you will move. Separating out thought and action, not needing to react to a thought. Just have a thought and know nothing comes up about it. Just soon you will move. And allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the gentle movement of breath. Bend the knees. Support the head with the upper arm and wait. Without a quality of waiting, just wait, just be. Can you be in that in-between space? On your side, neither in Shavasana nor in the next moment. Our life made up of a lot of in-between moments. Can you be there? And softly open the eyes. And use your hands to slowly press yourself up to sitting. Return to our virtual circle. And as always, whenever you can, camera on, because it throws a wrench into that multitasking. Oh, it's so much to do. When we're multitasking, there's a story running that there's so much to do that I don't have time to do one thing at a time. And it actually detracts. It's very hard to multitask. It's like saying numbers in the alphabet at the same time. 1A, 2B, 3C, 4D. Much slower than the numbers first in the alphabet after, as those who study Those who spend their lives studying this know. So camera on whenever you can. Coming back to our circle. Mary Kay, you're first, thank you. All right. And as you're returning to the circle, I'd love to hear, and Donna, you're next, Marla, great to see you. So one thing that you loved from this practice, there might be 99 things distracting the mind, what we focus on expands. And thanks, Grace, got that note. What we focus on expands. So what is it that you want to focus on from this practice? What was this for you? What was beautiful here for you today? Who would like to share? Let's hear one or two. What'd you notice today? What's your aha today? What stays with you from this Shavasana? Yeah, Sergio, thank you.
Releasing the tension in my body as I'm breathing out.
I love that. Yeah. The breath and the body are connected. And when we're in flight or fight or flight mode, the body gets tense, our breath gets rapid, right? And as we do Shavasana, it alters both. And Shavasana is also final relaxation pose, or the actual literal translation means corpse pose, right? Some of you know. It's like really unplugging from everything, put it that way. As we shift the breath and we allow that relaxation to happen in the body, and it switches us into a different mode. And as entrepreneurs, we often have so many things coming at us, all these things to do and opportunities, and can we switch out of that so we can make a clear decision and move in the direction that we want? And it starts with something as simple as the breath, the tension in my body, releasing. I'm here. Yes, good, Sergio, love it. Let's hear one more. What was this today for you? What did you love here? Yep, Mary Kay, thank you. And Mary Kay, you are still muted. You know that, right?
Okay, I was on my phone. I had a different sensation in my hands. Usually my hands, they tingle, the fingertips and the palms and everything. And this was a lot more solid. It included this, like the part of your palm that's like the thumb part, that pad, that big pad, that's your thumb thing.
Yeah.
And somehow it was very grounding. It felt just grounded through my hands instead of my feet.
I love this. Actually noticing what's going on. There's a kind of meditation that we can do that, where we're actually just paying attention to that tingling in the body. It's a different kind of meditative practice, but I had a teacher introduce me to that years ago. I don't do it regularly, but I love having learned that, because we're so dead to our physical bodies so often. We use them as instruments and feed them crappy stuff and don't take care of them as we might. And, you know, so it's like it becomes dead, and then we expect that to be alive in our work. But when we pay attention, we can actually feel, and sometimes that practice starts with the tingling in the hands or the tingling in the lips, and it's like we can feel that life force energy inside of us. And so as you're in Shavasana, you're feeling something different in your hands, like waking up to that embodied part of us. How can we have embodied words if we're not even embodied, right? Feeling the hands and a groundedness. And that takes us well into a strategy session, into a speaking situation, into networking, for instance. Yes, love that, Mary Kay. Thank you. Beautiful. Some of this stuff, sometimes the words that were coming up were I struggle with, and I don't like those words, but that's what came up. I struggle with finding the words, even though I work with words, to describe it in ways that don't sound esoteric, that don't sound like, you know, out there and non-practical. Every piece of what we do here is so very practical. When I can feel the grounding in my hands, I can be grounded. You know, it's like if people say, be grounded. Well, it's right in our bodies. And then when I'm having a conversation with somebody, I bring a different spirit, a different energy to that. Different words will come up, different results. So every piece of this very tangible and real and practical and results driven. And also, just like better for our lives too. I'd rather, you know, I'd rather be able to, like Sergio mentioned, be able to actually breathe and feel the breath and release tension. It just feels better to be that way as well. So we have to suffer the consequences of actually feeling better in our lives and in our bodies in order to have our businesses run. I always think that's funny. Let's suffer that horrible consequence, right? So thank you. Beautiful. Love that. I'm super excited about the material today. I want to bring together some stuff for you that I've brought together these pieces before, but not in this way before. And there was an editor in me going like, can I pull all these together for you that quickly in ways that you can actually embody and hear? And so I'm super excited about the material for today. So we'll see how this goes. And if not, always or spaciousness, we'll have time next week to pick it up. If we can't get across all these pieces together, but as I was putting it together, I was doing a happy dance this morning. So I hope that if any part of that happy dance comes to you, that'll make my day. And yours too, when you hear this and use what we're going to be diving into today. So just a couple of announcements. A reminder, there's been a change in dates, and that should be in your inbox already. And I've asked Amy to send out a couple more reminders as well. So the call that was going to be the workshop on the 18th is a Q&A call instead. And we did that for all kinds of company reasons. We needed to move it. We needed more space. But what that did was I just end up bonusing that to you. It's just my gift to you, right? So just want to over-deliver. And this is a fabulous, fabulous place. We've got, I will stay. It was originally scheduled for 2 hours. If there's questions for 5 minutes, I'll stay for 5 minutes. If there's questions for 2 hours, I will be there answering your questions. And we can do it in hot seats. We can do it in questions for 2 hours. So please make use of that. Please post your questions. You know where to post them. Go over to Story Freedom Academy. And if you post questions and I can't answer them all in 2 minutes, I'll make 2 minutes in 2 hours. I'll make sure there's more time for us to address those questions. So you guys did a great job of asking those questions a few weeks ago when we took time on the call for you to think of your questions. I don't want to take the time for that today, but please just take a few minutes out of your day and out of your week to find those questions so I can help you the best I know how. So that's... we've got June 18th at 12:30 Mountain Time. Bring your questions. If you haven't posted a question yet, come anyway. You can ask questions there and listen to the questions of others. And then the 2-hour workshop is June 24th at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. And again, please translate to your own time zone. And I think that's it for announcements for now. Other than, oh my goodness, I told you already about Barb, right? Did I tell you? Yes. So she'll be here live with us next week, but you know how it goes, right? She just made the leap minutes ago, actually, like less than an hour ago. Very super exciting. And you know what it's like to be in that space. And if any of you are coming, oh, actually, I almost forgot. We've got the Q&A call this afternoon too at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. So if you have registered for, if you registered for the Three Keys call, then that information about how to get there will be in your inbox. It's not this same link. It's a different link. So lots of spaces to ask your questions. And the call this afternoon at 3 p.m., that's when you can bring your friends to, so long as they're, you know, registered. So once they've registered for the call, they can come to that Q&A call. And, oh, right, Barb. Yes, Barb. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I was in a deep dive strategy session with Barb just now. And so will you please join me? You know what it's like when you've taken that leap. Will you please join me in welcoming Barb on the count of three? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Barb, welcome!
Barbara!
So excited you're here! Hi, see you live next week. That's what reminded me about the Q&A call, because I think she might even be on the Q&A call this afternoon too, so you might get to meet her early. So excited for you to meet her. She's just an awesome, awesome woman. All right. So, questions. I want to start with questions. I was going to start with questions, and Jasmine is not here yet. So maybe we're going to start. Will somebody remind me to get to Jasmine's question before the end of today's call? Will somebody do that for me? Will you be my accountability partner? Because I'm in an excited mood, and I want to make sure that I don't forget. But I'm waiting for Jasmine. Thank you, Grace. I'm waiting for Jasmine to meet. She might be here live, and it'd be better if she's here live, right? So I'll hold off on that question. So let's start with Mary Kay's question. And Mary Kay said, I want to start with questions today because I want to go to the question, then I want to go to the material, and then you're going to see the connection between the two, I think, I hope, by the end of the call. Because everything that I'm using to answer the question with Mary Kay, whole bunches of it comes from what we're going to be learning today, right? So Mary Kay said, Mary Kay says, I'm not sure what to ask, so I'll just see it, if it comes up as I write. That's a great thing, by the way. I wanted to share that with you because it's just the same way. I don't know what my win is going to be, but I just raise my hand and I trust. I don't know what my question is going to be. I'm just going to start writing and it'll come. And a great question came from that, Mary Kay. So thank you. You've been such a model for us about questions and here once again. So thank you. I'm not sure what to ask, so I'll just see if it comes up as I write. Marie is often, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to, you're our model person for that, right? My time is taken up with one, working with people in my programs, two, searching for a new course to represent my business and demo for videos, three, taking care and doing therapy exercises for a recovering horse, what I think I need. So here's a whole bunch of things I'm doing. Here's what I think I need. One, I seem to need time to reorganize my space at home to fit my business perspective. Number two, I seem to need time to reorganize my business plan. Look at this, I seem to need. I have a lot of content that I want to repackage, edit, reprice. Number three, I need time for a clearer vision of my business plan that focuses on loving presence and not just with horses. Now this part, see, so there's all the stuff that I'm doing. I think I need time for this stuff. Then here's the last part of the question. I've not been doing as many strategy calls because I don't know if I can fit anyone else into my programs without taking time to reorganize. My question possibly is, will I mess up things and miss out on opportunities if I set aside 6 to 8 weeks to reorganize? At this point, is there a way to keep going and keep making sales and still reorganize? I think, Mary Kay, can I throw this out to the community? Is it okay if I do that first? Thank you, because I'm just curious about what you think I'm going to answer. And there's not only just one right answer to this, right? But I want to hear just a couple of suggestions from you. It's not a right or wrong, but I want to hear what you hear in Mary Kay's question, because I've got a very strong opinion about this one, but I want to hear what you hear with all the pieces that we've done before. And again, if your editor's going, oh no, it's going to be the wrong answer. It's like, hey, tales of, you know, business school. No, there's multiple different right answers, but I do have a strong opinion. I want to hear what you have to say. Yeah, Grace, and then Marie.
Self-care is about taking the time you need to replenish yourself, to clear out, to refocus. And by allocating parts of that time to do that, actually will free up the energy to do what is most important.
Okay. Yeah, I let you, you're going to get great stuff from everybody here, I know. So it's beautiful. It's one perspective, it's beautiful. And it dovetails with the self-care piece that, you know, we talked about in the Letting Go series deeply, right? Marie, how about you?
Well, I've worked with Michelle enough to suspect that there's going to be a strong suggestion to keep yourself on the court, connecting with people and offering things as you do the other. That, like, what I'm hearing is it's almost like a sense of scarcity somehow that's underlying the question. And Michelle is quite brilliant at underlining and finding those spots. So I'm going to take over from here.
I love it. I don't think I've ever done it quite this way before, but just turning it over to you. And with, you know, loving what Grace is saying and always a foundation, there's got to be, all the Loving Kindness series has a lot of that in its heart too. There's got to be self-care, absolutely. Without that, and reference the Letting Go series, you can't get anywhere, right? So yes, yes, and yes to what Grace says. And my starting place comes from where Marie is coming from, and it's not right or wrong or good or bad, but it's because one of the reasons is the time frame. Paige says 6 to 8 weeks. So Mary Kay, are you okay if I play? We've been working, this isn't our first rodeo, so is it okay if I dive in a little bit and exaggerate a little bit some of the pieces that you've said so we can hear them a little better? Is that okay? And I'm going to add some other pieces that I know about what's been going on for you. And then I'm going to tell a story on myself, if that's okay. So, because this is a really important point for all of us. So I really wanted to dive in a big way. All right. So yes to what Grace says. There's nothing, what Grace said is absolutely right. It's got to be there. And it's not just like, well, I'm going to drive myself 24/7 into the ground. We need Grace's piece of the puzzle. Yes. And I just, so it's okay if I speak as though I'm you, Mary Kay, right now. Is that okay? Can I say I and speak as, okay. I just had some amazing wins. I've had people entering my program or asking me for my work, and I haven't even got the program built yet. And it's unprecedented. It's never, ever happened. And I'm building things so very quickly. And it's actually what I've been wanting to do for a very, very long time. So I better make sure that it stops. The editor mind is quite tricky. And Mary Kay is saying, no, that's not right. So Mary Kay, I'll give you a chance to speak in just a moment. But I'm just pulling out a thread of what I think is happening behind this. And Marie is talking about she could hear to that line of scarcity that's going there. And Cindy's been not, it's not her first rodeo either. She can hear it too. So I want you to be able to hear this piece. It's a sneaky story. And I want to tell, I promise I'd tell a story on myself. As a meditator, many years ago, I was meditating. And I had, I haven't done what Sergio's done, this like 10, or Marie's done it too, like these 10-day Vipassana meditations. I haven't even done that, right? I've done some very intensive yoga retreats and so on, but the silent meditation, you know, talk to Sergio, talk to Marie. But the very first time that I did a day-long meditation, my meditation practice was amazing. And I was, more things were opening in my life. And I was finding like the silent space that we find in Shavasana at the beginning of our calls and the beginning of our day. I encourage you all to start your day that way. And everything was changing in my life. And I went to the day-long workshop, and it's like almost like the heavens opened, and it was just so like extraordinary. You know, it was a really great experience. And I'd been meditating for months, and what I did promptly after that is I stopped meditating. And I went to my teacher, I'm like, what happened? Everything was going, and it was really good. And then I stopped, like, I don't understand. And what do you think her answer was? This is directly related to Mary Kay's question. Here's what she told me. I'm not surprised, Michelle, that's really common. And that just sounds bizarre. Why, if it's really rolling and things are going well, and I know that wasn't all the threads of your question, Mary Kay, but I'm putting it together with some other things that you've been talking about before. Why would that happen? And it's the last klesha that I've taught you about, raga devesha, like clinging to things and pushing things away in the letting go series, right? But the last klesha, those things that bind us in the Yoga Sutras, the last one is called abhinivesa. Fear of death, clinging to life, manifests as a fear of change. It's like, well, so much is rolling and so much is changing. I don't really want more change. I'm kind of afraid that it's moving so quickly. And so it's like there's this unconscious break that happens that says, I'm going to stop this. And remember from the high ticket virtual retreat, if we're not making offers, we don't have a company. So this is a bit of like kind of tough love. And I'm not saying don't take a space for yourself. Please hear what Grace has said. Got to be balanced by what Grace has said. But if we don't make offers, we don't have company. And then it starts to get hard. And then we're scrambling to catch up or something like that. Right. And so, I would turn you to the high ticket virtual retreat, Mary Kay. I know Jasmine's deep into the high ticket virtual retreat right now, and say, hey, what if it's not so hard to make offers? What if I can easily make offers and easily have people leap in? And I can, the line of scarcity that Marie's probably hearing, the one that I'm hearing anyway, is my time is right there too. And then my time is taken up with, and the very first thing on that is working with people in my programs. So then can I think creatively, take that space that Grace is suggesting is a good part of the answer as well. Take that space that Grace is suggesting and find ways to leverage your time. So maybe you're working privately and you're ready to start putting people together because you can, you know, speak with two people and at once. And if you don't know how to do that, ask me a follow-up question about that. And Marie knows that because when we began, I was mostly doing private coaching. Marie, it's not her first rodeo. We've been around many years. And then I started putting people together more and more and more. And then magical things happens when I do that, right? And can I, and as I do a piece of organization, That may give me some time and space so that I can make that next offer. And here's the clincher part. And this is so for all of you that I want to do a really deep dive into this very important question. Because when things are rolling, our tendency is to make them stop. Strangely. And so what do we, it's a luxury problem to have. So how do we allow that to continue to move forward? And here's the thing, if it's space that you're wanting, Mary Kay, I want to land very solidly on, you know, when you are making an offer and even if it's in the hundreds, but it's in the thousands of dollars and you get one more client. A friend of mine used to say, time is money and money is money. But I really think money is time. So one more person joins, for example, and if it's organization that you want, a couple of years ago, I did this. I hired a professional organizer. It cost me $750, I think. And I had boxes and boxes of stuff to go through. And she said, Michelle, because I'm efficient too, she said, Michelle, you did with one professional organizer what most people do in one day, one professional organizer one day, what it takes most people to do in 2 days with two professional organizers. And I know she could have added what takes one person a week or a month without a professional organizer. I bring one person in. I get to do what I love. I get to serve in the reference the high ticket virtual retreat. I get to do my very best work, what I'm put on the planet for. I get let other people do their work too with that person. I hire the people to help me do that stuff. And instead of taking 2 months, I take a day to organize all that. I make more time and space for myself. I leverage my time. And then I get to keep going further down the path that I say that I want, which is to build this company and to serve the people in the way that I want to serve. So Mary Kay, I want to open it up to you. That was a deep dive into that question, but I thought if there's some piece of that that you can relate to before I turn to Mary Kay, raise your hand. Any part of you that's ever wanted to put on the brakes right when things are going well, or that just wants to put the brakes on because of some kind of fear or some kind of, I don't want it to change it. Yeah, just notice, right? And if there's an editor in you that's going, well, you know, things aren't working well right now, so that's not my problem, you know, poor you, whatever, right? It's okay. It's just an up and down. It's just, we're on different parts of the journey. Mary Kay, I want to turn it to you to hear what you heard in this. It was such an important question. I really thank you for it. What'd you hear? And you could go, Michelle, that's not right at all. You didn't land it. Or just tell me what you heard.
Well, I kept, when you say about putting the brakes on, it's like, No, I know what that feels like. I want to step up. There's so much. Yeah. I don't know how to step up. I've never done this. And I want to know how to step up. And so kind of what came out of it was make a little bit of space and then just do it. Just step.
Yes, right. Exactly. Thank you. How many of you know that Mary Kay might have just shaved a year off the journey for her company? If you know that, raise your hand. She could have got stalled there. Do you, Mary Kay, do you know that? Because it's like do you know that now when I say it? Does that resonate as true?
I hope so.
Yeah. She could have, because like, well, I'll just take these 6 weeks off. I'll just take these 8 weeks off. Oh, but I haven't made one of those calls with stretch distance in a while. I wonder if I remember how to do it. Oh, maybe I better reorganize a little bit more. And I know this so well that I wanted to do a deep dive into it too, because it's what stalls PhD students too, right? You know, when I was doing my PhD, oh, it was really scary to write that next chapter. I think I better read another book. Right? I'm not saying organizing and envisioning all those pieces. We teach those pieces here. Like, we have components that show that. But in this case, and the way that you said it, I would say, yeah, do a little bit of it. And I would say the antidote would be on 3 strategy sessions this week. Like, have at least 3 strategy session calls with people this week. Maybe 5. Have somebody enroll. Take that money, help you organize. And then take the next step and ask the next question. How's that feel, Mary Kay? Does that feel aligned?
I think so, but there's another part that... That's sort of odd, because there's another part not with the business, because I don't know how to do that, but if I do know how to do something, like with this horse I just looked at today, that's where I put the brakes on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and sometimes you can just go, well, I don't know how to do it, so I don't know what to do. Well, if I did know how to do it, what would I do? Well, then go do that. You know? So, yeah, really beautiful.
Yeah, the brakes come with when I do know. So that was helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And that's, again, we could take a deeper dive, ask a follow-up question. You can ask one this afternoon. You can ask one Tuesday. We've got lots of space for questions coming up. So feel free to dive in. I still don't see Jasmine here. I thought she's going to be here live today, and I really wanted to answer her question live. I'm still going to hold off on the question then, more toward the end. If you want me to answer your question while you're not here, for sure, because you want the answer right away, put that in the question. I'm not going to be there. Make sure you answer the question anyway, Michelle, because I want the answer, and I will make sure to do that. But sometimes when we can interact in this way, it helps me answer the question deeper dive. Okay. So last time we talked about everything you want is on the other side of fear, but we didn't even get to all of that yet. We didn't get to all the pieces about fear yet. And then today's the title of today's call, and it's probably going to morph or leak over into the next call as well, is Happy No Matter What, How Meta Allows You to Close Sales and Serve People. That might not mean anything to you yet, but it will by the end of today's call, or certainly by next call, our next call in this series. Happy No Matter What, How Meta Allows You to Close Sales and Serve People. So I just want to remind you, last time I read you that piece that one of our alumni gave me, Katie. It was called Dear Human. And it was about love. Remember that? And then that poem by Galway Kinnell, a lot of you were so moved by that. It's like, where do I find that? About St. Francis and the sow, and just a really a huge shifting of worldview about what it is to love and what it is to bring back the worthiness in something and someone. We have to understand how that works in words, or we can't hold a strategy session, or we can't give a talk, or we can't even do that work inside ourselves, right? Also did a piece about expressive writing as well. So I want to just hear from one of you what you took home from that last time, or what you remember as I'm reminding you. And Cindy's already got the book. Thank you. So maybe I'll turn to you, Cindy. What's one thing that you remember from that that felt important to you, or that was an aha?
One thing, that's the challenge.
Right.
Well, since I grabbed the book and held it up, I also bought an audio version of his other book, and I've been listening to it, and it just makes so much sense the way he lays things out.
So this is James Pennebaker and expressive writing.
Yeah.
Just a reminder that when we put our thoughts down on paper in a particular way, that amazing physical benefits come about, emotional, spiritual, mental, and that both to have the foundation to grow our company. That is a tool to help our people to be able to find out even what's going on inside of us. So thank you for that. Cindy, anything else you want to add about that?
It's just a new perspective on an old theme that has a lot of good, solid research behind it.
Yeah, thank you. And I know you appreciate that your background as a veterinarian, right? Understand, like, and not only that part of your background, the research that this is real, this makes a difference. Yeah, beautiful. Okay. Let me see. Do I want to do this? Yeah, I want to take time for one or two wins, and then we're going to move on to some very specific training content in this, the next step in the Loving Kindness series. So one or two wins. What's been rolling for you this week that you want to share? It's a really good practice. Yeah, thanks, Marie, and then Cindy.
Well, I held my first webinar about the Bali retreat.
Yes, and you were asking about that last week, right?
So,
that was on the small group call, I think. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Anyway, the timing of—I mean, the universe is definitely there to support me, because just before the webinar, I had a small group call, and I was able to just ask for some support. And the webinar went really well. People asked great questions, and what I was laughing about is I've been wanting to do webinars for a while, but didn't think I knew what to do. And then it's like, well, here's a reason to do one. So I'm doing a webinar. I have no idea, but I actually do have some ideas. So anyway, Mary Kay, just keep doing stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say the stuff tells totally with what Mary Kay was just talking about, right? You held the first webinar you've done ever for Bali. You got the support just right on time. Everything, which reinforces that very empowering story of everything happens for a reason. That reason is there to serve me, because here it was, just on time information. And when we do things, there's that trust that I just do it, and I know the resources will come my way, because here's an example of it. So I notice it, I pay attention to that. That's the piece I'm going to notice. And you remember, like, we're bombarded with 11 million bits of information a second, and we can pay attention to 40 of them. We're going to pay attention to a different 40 and the ones that serve us more when we notice in the way that you're noticing here, Marie. Fantastic. Thank you. Love it. Cindy, you had your hand up too, right?
Yeah. After the last call, I kind of scrambled that call scrambled my thinking. And out of that, I was struggling with thinking I had three programs that I needed to get developed at the same time. And so I decided to just start writing them down and then prioritizing. And I realized I didn't have three programs. I have two. And the third one was a part of the first one, rather than a whole separate thing. And once that realization hit, it was like everything started coming together for me. And the one primary program that I want to get done immediately, I'm going to be ready to offer proposals to hospitals and doctors and vets with probably within a week.
Oh,
and it's going to yes. be ready to get out there.
Freaking awesome. So good. I'm taking the time and space to just take a look and ponder. And I love that. You said too, it came out of scrambling my brain. Sometimes it's like the kaleidoscope. It gets messy before it yes. comes to a new pattern. And I could feel like it didn't feel really heavy when you said the scramble. I just scrambled my brain. And then it came out as a new pattern and went so much easier. And now I can get it out there right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's amazing, excuse me, how turning the kaleidoscope
yeah.
just brought all of those pieces into a completely different picture pattern, and it was finally a pattern that made sense to me, and that I could act on and move forward with, and it was just really exciting.
I love it, Cindy. So beautiful. And I'm so glad you mentioned that turn of the kaleidoscope as well, because today is going to be a turning kaleidoscope kind of call. And the training piece of it and the way that I conceive of it. So first off, congratulations. I'm so freaking happy for you. I'm so happy for you. So beautiful. And yes, a kaleidoscope, turn of the kaleidoscope kind of call. And I've taught this material for many, many, many years. But again, this excitement in me this morning, there's something about how this came together for me this morning that I so want to articulate and have it really land in all of us, because it's just a game changer. So anything bursting to be said without which we can't go forward. Just want to empty out the room, because otherwise we can't hear the next piece and then we can't take it in. It doesn't actually do anything then. Yeah, Grace.
So for me, I think a win is this is like my journey from having started with you, Michelle, and this whole group. And part of it has been Jasmine going back to the high ticker retreat and just talking about that periodically. And just sort of gets me back to where I've been and the work I've done with Cheryl and Sherry in our small group. But it goes back to saying, we'll just start close at home. And so for me, I think a win is I'm part of I started this 10 years ago, ministry at our church, and we've been going through a series of workshops. So I joined the networking piece this morning. And out of the blue, I've been thinking about doing a series of assessments, helping people get back in touch with themselves, using assessments and then applying it to whatever facet of their life is. And what was fun is I told everybody today, I said, well, let's experiment with one of these, with a CDI assessment. And I've been thinking about how do I virtualize and automate this? But it just brought home the fact that it was just so much fun and it was so easy. I could do it in my sleep. It's like, why am I not doing this? It's like, let me just do more of this. This is like home for me. So just focus here. It comes.
I love it. I love it. Focus here. It comes. And it's got that foundational, if we have a guideline in this community, it's not fun. We're not doing it right. What about going the easy path? What about going the route that it doesn't mean we don't sometimes put the work in, right? But I love that. It's like, let it be easy, let it be fun. And it's something that was right in front of you, right? You know, you've been connected in this way, doing this work for 10 or in this group for 10 years, but all of a sudden seeing an opportunity in front of you that you hadn't seen before, right? Or the way to do this that wasn't there before and now suddenly is there, yes? Yeah, freaking awesome, Grace. I love it. Thank you so much. All right. Anything bursting to be said? Good. All right. Good. Okay. Let me see. Yeah. So I'm going to read you some stories today. I've got four different stories that I want to read you today. And they're different. They come from very different sources, but together they tell a story. And the first story comes from, Sharon Salzberg is called A Heart as Wide as the World. And I haven't even defined loving kindness for you. We've just been talking about love. But let me just say that in our culture, we use that word love. It's like love done me wrong, all these songs, you know, so we got a funny idea about what love is. But I'm not a Buddhist, but some of the languaging comes from the Buddhist tradition. And loving kindness is in the... it's in the yoga tradition as well. Metta, Maitri, loving kindness. And I don't want to spend time on definitions other than it's what love ought to be in our culture, but it gets messed up with all these other things. All right. That's good enough, a working definition for now. And so Sharon Salzberg, she's like the queen of loving kindness teachings. And she's got another book that I'll read something from. Am I going to read something? I just want to show you this book, Loving Kindness. It's called Loving Kindness, Revolutionary Art of Happiness, Sharon Salzberg. And I just want to read you a piece from this to begin. So it's called Very Happy. It's on page 180 of my book. Again, I recommend all her books. Go and take a look if you want to go dive deeper into this. She's very happy. One of my teachers, Nyoshulkin Rinpoche, sorry if I mispronounced his name, called Kenpo by his students, was one of many thousands of Tibetans who fled their country in 1959 because of the Chinese invasion of Tibet and the terrible religious persecution that followed. In Tibet, Kenpo had been teaching a high lama and an heir to all of the sacred teachings of the different schools of lineages. In Tibet, Kenpo had been a high lama and an heir to all the sacred teachings of the different schools and lineages of Tibetan Buddhism. So this is one of our teachers. During a retreat, he taught in the United States many years after he left Tibet. He began telling us the story of how he had left his family behind, not knowing if he would ever see them again, as he set out for India with about 70 other people. One night, as the group traveled through the mountains, Chinese soldiers ambushed them, showering them with machine gun bullets. Only 5 people survived the attack and escaped on foot through treacherous Himalayan passes to India. Soon after arriving, Kenpo went to Calcutta and found a place to sleep in a Buddhist monastery. He spoke to us about begging for pennies on the streets of Calcutta just so he could have a cup of tea to drink. It was heart-wrenching to hear Kenpo speak about the traumatic circumstances, the Chinese persecution, the humiliation, torture, and death of so many Tibetans, the sorrow of leaving loved ones behind, the slaughter of Kenpo's companions, the sheer physical brutality of the escape. The image of this teacher, whom I love so much, begging for pennies, deprived of all physical comforts, was overwhelming for me to hear. As I began to cry, I noticed that several other people in the room were also crying. Just at that point, Kenpo finished up his story of beginning, Kenpo finished up his story of begging in Calcutta with the phrase, "And I was very happy." And I was very happy. My mind came to an abrupt stop. Very happy? Did he say very happy? I could scarcely believe he had said that. The man was bereft, poverty-stricken, a refugee. How could he say he was very happy? As Kenpo went on, he talked about being sustained through all these events and sudden turns of faith led by the truth of the Buddhist teachings. He had gone from being an esteemed religious teacher in Tibet with great distinction and honor, addressing multitudes of spiritual aspirants, to finding himself suddenly begging in the hot streets of Calcutta, surrounded by poverty and hopelessness. And later on, he went from the crowds of India to the United States, where he again was received as a highly revered teacher. So many unexpected ups and downs. Who can describe them, Kenpo said. Isn't life like a series of dreams within a vast, dreamlike mirage? After his talk, my mind was still reeling. Every so often, if we're fortunate, we catch a glimpse of a quality of happiness or freedom in another human being that is not bound to conditions, that sustains them even through extraordinary suffering. Kenpo's intense love and devotion for the Buddha's teachings had borne the fruit of this deep happiness right in the midst of his inconceivable challenges. What goes on? Part of the gist of that, actually, I want to hear what you heard first. Just a word or two, a phrase, a sentence. This is directly related to our material for today. And I'm going to give you, we're going to be reading from very different sources about very different things, and I want to put them together to make a certain kind of meaning. But I want to hear what you've heard so far. Yeah, Marie.
Well, this is coming at a very appropriate time. It's something about things just are, and the stories we attach to them are what either make us suffer or allow us to be happy. And this person, the Rinpoche, is like, he's definitely enlightened.
something that we would like to access that we don't know all about, but how did he do that?
Well,
and actually believe and think that, not as just words. And so what are the stories going on inside? How does that actually happen? And we really want to understand how that happens. As entrepreneurs, we're in the business of transformation. We're in the business of change. How do we change from one state to another? And look what happened there, right? No matter what else is going on, and to change, to transform that into a state of, and I was very happy. How does that even happen? Right. So thank you, Marie. Beautiful. And so what is it that gives us that kind of resilience? And there's a piece of this from the Letting Go series about, remember, Devasia, that pushing away. Most of us would end up pushing away that stuff. It's like, I hate that. That can't happen. I got to get away. I got to hang on to that other thing that happened. And so reference the Letting Go series. We're not going to go back there, but just, you know, there's a quick spin through a couple of the things that we went to over there. There's something Marie put it like, what is. I want to juxtapose this against a teaching by, it's another Buddhist. Again, I'm not a Buddhist, but sometimes the Buddhists teach us about our minds, how our minds work, and how we can be free. And so Sherry Huber is another Buddhist teacher. She said, I love this book. Some of you have seen it before, The Key, and the name of the key is willingness. And here's what she says. This is on page 64 in my copy. I don't think I've ever read so many stories all together, you know, back to back before. But again, when we hear them back to back from very different sources, here's two Buddhist teachers, but we're going to something quite different in a moment. Here's what she says. I'll show you what the page looks like too. It's like handwritten. Freedom lies in seeing how we do liking and disliking. Not in getting all the things we like, and she's got like picture of like things we like. I want to hang on to that. And this, again, reference the Letting Go series. Or in getting rid of all the things we dislike. And there's things I dislike, I'm going to push them away. She says, if you find something unacceptable, draw a bigger circle of acceptance. Just keep drawing a bigger circle until nothing is excluded. And she draws circles. It's like, well, I, know, not that, a bigger and bigger and bigger circle. So part of this call is about, like, how do we actually draw a bigger circle? And if this doesn't seem like practical business advice, if it's like, how do I apply this to my business, Michelle? So you're in a strategy session and somebody says, no, I don't like the price. What are you going to do with that sentence? There's a lot of wisdom from all these things that we're learning. Because I mean, I don't like that, so I got to push it away. What do you mean? It's a really great price, or whatever it is, right? Or the umpteen other things that people could say. Or in speaking, you heard me in a moment ago, somebody said, what do you mean? Like, there's been nothing, no content for 15 minutes. Wait a second, give me a second, right? And my mind went away and had to come back again. So when we're speaking, when we're teaching, when we're all like, this really matters, right? What do we do with this? Draw a circle. And a few pages later, I've been struck by this for many, many years. She shows a picture of a guy meditating and she says, all you must do is accept all that is unacceptable to you. All you must do is accept all that is unacceptable to you. So why did I put these two beside each other? The story of Sharon Salzberg's meditation teacher and Sharon Salzberg. What do you hear in putting those two together? I'm going to add some other pieces as well. But I want to hear what you've heard so far, because juxtaposition, putting things side by side, makes meaning. Sergio, go ahead.
It's all about awareness, being aware of what's happening around you and not being attached. Not being attached to what you like or what you don't like and so on. Just being aware of what's happening there in your life. And
I can see it, but I'm not pushing it away. And we practice that in Shavasana too, right? Like, oh, there's that thought that's coming up. Oh, I'm just going to let it go. I'm not pushing it away. Oh, you know, here's my breath. And I'm just, so we're practicing this kind of state of being when we're doing Shavasana, right? So can I be aware of those things around me, but can I draw my circle bigger and bigger and not draw the line in the sand? This is good. This is bad. This is, I can't, you know, stand this. So again, all that piece from the Letting Go series. So why is it here? How do I draw a bigger and bigger circle? And all you must do is accept all that is unacceptable to you. Well, last time we were talking about, there were pieces in and around fear. Remember that? And in and around pieces around fear, around self-worth, around what does it mean even to love imperfectly, right? And all that is at the foundation of our business. It creates a very different business. And I talked about, I quoted Richard Branson, right? He's just like arms embracing everything, right? So, oh, people, instead of going, I need to have everybody in my company to work harder and work better and smarter because I've got to build this company and we have that scarcity so much, reference the Abundance series. And instead he goes, oh, people need more time off. It was Grace's point earlier with Mary Kay. It's a point well taken, right? People need spaciousness, and when they have it, so not anxiousness about things, but just embracing all, embracing a shorter workday for people, embracing what other people think of as unacceptable, not working hard because you're supposed to work hard, so embracing all of it. And but what do we do when we bump up against something that we really can't stand, or we really hate, or we're really afraid of? And I just, in order to make this a little more tangible, because, you know, in that story that Sharon Salzberg teaches, I mean, that story she tells, there were clearly things that could easily be hated, that could easily be, make a lot of anger and hatred, and I got to get away from here, and so on, right? I mean, a story to end all stories of, you know, things that we'd want to push away. But as entrepreneurs, are there things that push your buttons? Are you things that you're afraid of that you can notice? Things that you don't want it to go that way? Things that if I go there, something bad might happen. Can you give me some examples so this starts to become a more concrete conversation? What are the places you're afraid of right now? Are you willing to share? You might be afraid to speak right now because you might get it wrong. That'd be a moment, right? You won't get it wrong, but it comes up even just in a moment. Mary Kay's example was a great one. It's like a line of fear, perhaps. The fear might be about, well, if I, there might be a kind of, I don't know, only Mary Kay knows for sure, but there might not be enough in me to do all these things, so I've got to reorganize to make sure there's the capacity, and I might not be the person who has that capacity yet, so I've got to make sure that it's all aligned before I take the next step. And that could stop her from allowing her business to continue to unfold, because if she's not making offers. Grace is pointing to the opposite fear. It could be that, you know, afraid to take a break too. That could be the opposite, right? And all these things can stall or stop our businesses, right? Give me some other examples so I know that you're tracking on this. What are you afraid of? Yeah, Marie. You're muted.
I'm afraid of not filling the Bali retreat.
Yeah. Yeah. So I better run around and make sure, like, what am I going to do in reaction to that? So often we then just react.
Fortunately, I'm staying pretty still.
Right. Yeah. So can I take appropriate actions? And what do I do with that fear inside me? And if that fear sits inside me while I'm having a conversation with somebody who might be able to come to Bali, like Vera Marie, I can't have that conversation because it's just, I'm overwhelmed by that, you know, but what if they don't come? And then, you know, then I end up pushy or salesy or whatever. And the very thing that I don't want to do, I end up being. Good example. What else? What else are we, I mean, I think there's, oh, entrepreneurs get afraid of all kinds of things. I mean, get afraid of the stats about entrepreneurs. I mean, we could build up all kinds of fear here, you know, like, whoa, how many people make it and so on, right? What else? Think some things we're afraid of. You got the idea, right? You know, like, Michelle, don't take us down that path. Right? Marla, is that you? It's like, I got it. Like, I already know. Yes? Okay. Just wanted to make, and Cheryl, you're nodding. Okay. I'm seeing the yes, the real yes in that. All right. So then what do we do with this? And I said that last time, everything you want is on the other side of fear. If Marie is afraid of filling the Bali retreat, well, she really wants to fill the Bali retreat. And if that fear is something that gets in her way, if Luke Skywalker is afraid to go and save the galaxy, you know, it's not going to do anything. The story doesn't ever start. Harry's afraid to face Voldemort, right? He can't continue on, and we all have our Voldemorts, our things that we're afraid of, big or small. If we stop there, then what, right? So I said that today would be the antidote to that. Like, if we have these fears coming up, or if we think that old story is going to recur, or think of Carly's house, right? Oh no, that's going to recur, and then, right? So what's the antidote to this then? What do we do when faced with that, those same old stories are being pulled back into that? And in order to answer that, I want to share with you another story. And I think rather than taking comments from you right now, because I'm creating a story from the connection of these stories, I think I just want to dive into the story. And I'm sure that some of you have heard this story before. Some of you have heard it more than once. Marie, I think the first time you heard it was on Salt Spring Island in 2011, probably. Probably read it there. And it's called What Was I Scared Of? By Dr. Seuss. I think you've heard it too. Hear it newly. Well, I was walking in the night and I saw nothing scary, for I have never been afraid of anything. Not very. Then I was deep within the woods when suddenly I spied them. I saw a pair of pale green pants with nobody inside them. I wasn't scared, but yet I stopped. What could those pants be there for? What could a pair of pants at night be standing in the air for? And then they moved, those empty pants. They kind of started jumping. And then my heart, I must admit, it kind of started thumping. So I got out. I got out fast as I could go, sir. I wasn't scared, but pants like that I did not care for. No, sir. After that, a week went by. Then one dark night in Greenwich, I had to do an errand there and fetch some Greenwich spinach. Well, I had fetched the spinach. I was starting back through town when those pants raced round a corner and they almost knocked me down. I lost my Greenwich spinach, but I didn't even care. I ran for home. Believe me, I had really had a scare. Now, bicycles were never made for pale green pants to ride in, especially spooky pale green pants with nobody inside them. And the next night I was fishing for delft trout on Ruger River. When those pants came rowing toward me, well, I started in to shiver. And by now I was so frightened that I'll tell you, but I hate to. I screamed and rowed away and lost my hook and line and bait too. I ran and found a brickle bush. I hid myself away. I got brickles in my britches, but I stayed there anyway. I stayed all night. The next night, too, I'd be there still, no doubt. But I had to do an errand, so the next night, I went out. I had to do an errand, had to pick a peck of snide in a dark and gloomy snide field that was almost 9 miles wide. I said, I do not fear those pants with nobody inside them. I said and said and said those words. I said them, but I lied them. Then I reached inside a snide bush, and the next thing that I knew, I felt my hand touch someone, and I'll bet that you know who. And there I was, caught in the snide, and in that dreadful place, those spooky, empty pants and I were standing face to face. I yelled for help. I screamed. I shrieked. I howled. I yelled. I cried, oh, save me from those pale green pants. With nobody inside. Then a strange thing happened. Why, those pants began to cry. Those pants began to tremble. They were just as scared as I. I never heard such whimpering, and I began to see that I was just as strange to them as they were strange to me. I put my arm around their waist and sat right down beside them. I calmed them down, poor empty pants, with nobody inside them. And now we meet quite often, those empty pants and I, and we never shake or tremble. We both smile and we say, hi. So. What do the pale green pants have to do with your company? Am I reading you a story from Dr. Seuss? Why should we care? Yep, Cindy.
Being afraid of something that's unfamiliar to you, mm-hmm. and then eventually learning how to make friends with it. Mm.
So, where are those unfamiliar things then? Where are they? Yeah, Cheryl.
Everywhere.
Thank you. That's why we're going here. Can you give me some examples? As you're sitting here right now, Cheryl, it might be this moment that you're afraid of. It's like, but I don't know the answer. Then we're afraid, right? It's not just one answer.
Yep.
So give me some examples.
It could be your business. It could be people. It could be, you know, walking into a room, not knowing anyone, you know, and just remembering that everyone has to put their underwear on just like you do. And mm-hmm. everyone has the same thing you do. It's just mm-hmm. remember. That's what I'm taking away from that story. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay. So what if, let's take that one example. You gave many examples and great examples. Thank you. So I'm walking into a room and I don't know anybody. What does this story have to do with it? Why does that help us? There's another piece that we'll do and we'll probably do it next call, but I want to start with Dr. Seuss. Why does that help? These pale green pants, what are they in that case? I'm walking into a room. What are the pale green pants there? Cheryl, I'll turn to you again.
It's the unknown. You're afraid of something that you don't know. You know, you know what pale green pants are. But, I mean, let's be honest. If I was walking in the woods and I saw a pair of pale green pants walking without anyone inside them, I'd be a little freaked myself. But that's just a metaphor of what we're trying to do here. But, yeah.
Okay. So that would freak me out. And maybe walking into a networking event freaks me out. And so Where do you think that fear is in when I'm walking into a room networking, for instance, and I don't know anybody? What am I actually afraid of? Yeah, Cindy. Oh, that was a hand. I'm just going to take it.
Sorry, I was chasing a fly.
Go for it, Cindy.
Go for the fly or
go for the words. See, in this moment, it might be Cindy. Oh, no, I wave my hand. Like, it's happening to us all the time.
Yeah, I feel like I had absolutely nothing to say. And so it puts me on the spot. And that's an uncomfortable place to be because the fear pops up because I don't know what the heck I'm going to be saying now. And I don't want to look like an idiot and makes me uncomfortable. And I was really just chasing a fly.
What I love about this is Cindy is describing exactly the problem at hand. You get it? So Cindy, because I called on her in the moment, she is exactly like in that spot when she's networking. And all those thoughts come up. Those are the exact stories. I don't know what to say. Now I'm put on the spot. What am I going to say to this person? What if I say the wrong thing? I was really just, you know, I didn't want that person to walk up to me. I was really just going for a glass of water. Now there's somebody that I have to talk to. Like, all these things happen moment by moment by moment. And sometimes if you're going, well, no, I'm really at ease networking, it's somewhere else then for you. Or maybe it's not in the moment that you're walking in, but maybe you're walking onto stage or whatever it is, right? And so for you, Cindy, then in that, I'm going to go with you, Cindy, still. Because it's like, man, just because I was swatting a fly away. And then sometimes what we think is, well, then I'm not going to swat the fly away because I better, you know, and I better contract. Like, mm-hmm. Mikey, all these things are opening. And there was a bit of contraction in that. There was other things too, but a bit.
I definitely did. I'm not going to swat that fly again.
Right.
Not on this call.
And right. And so is that what Dr. Seuss is advocating?
No.
And Mary Kay needing to, I remember that from a couple weeks ago. Mary Kay is not a huge Dr. Seuss fan, right? So needing to embrace Dr. Seuss. So so what would that story suggest for our businesses? What would our, and again, this seems like really small, but it's not, it's really big because it's happening everywhere in our companies.
Yeah, just embrace being put on the spot and learning. I learned a new phrase this morning. Mental agility and emotional agility. Mm-hmm. So the flexibility to respond and on the go. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So I'm just going to embrace that moment instead of pushing it away. And again, that's connected to the Love and Kindness and Letting Go series, right? So I'm going to embrace that moment instead of pushing it away. I'm going to take a breath, like Sergio pointed us to at the beginning, right? Oh, my body releases. But how do I actually do that? How am I going to embrace that moment? That's easier said than done, right? Donna.
Truth be told, I'm at that point now where I'm recognizing I'm not selling when I walk mm-hmm. in networking event. So worrying about what I have to say doesn't extend past, hi, I'm Donna. We haven't met. And that's it. Like I'm at that, I've hit that crossroads, or actually probably a wall.
Okay. So yes, I hear that. So what you're saying is when I walk in and I'm networking, I'm not selling, like I'm not going to be able to sell. That's the fear?
No. My fear has always been walking in and people are in groups. And right. they're talking, and I'm a solo standing in like a boob, right? And do you just walk over and join that group? Or do you stand there and look expectant that someone's going to come up and engage you? So that, I don't know that actually is gone. But the fact that I'm not trying to sell somebody into being my client there has made it more of a social acquaintance program, and I don't have a lot of energy on whether we're going to have a long-winded conversation.
Got it. Okay, so I can create so I used to think that I'm supposed to sell right on the spot, but I can create structures and I can learn some pieces around business that will help me be a little bit more at ease in those moments because I've learned I don't have to sell on the spot. That's the wrong thing to do anyway.
Well, so, and I just want to be curious,
right,
about them. That's okay. I have to develop. I haven't done a lot of networking because I've worked in small companies. And my social circles have not been crazy big. So
And I want to stop you there for a second, Donna, because you said something really important. She said, oh, I just got to walk in and I got to be curious about them. And so like getting back to that childlike space. And that's exactly what Dr. Seuss, as far as I'm concerned, like Dr. Seuss is really wise. This is exactly what's happening. Can you hear it with the mechanism of pale green pants? They're so far away and they're spooky out there. But as I get closer up with it, I can actually see, oh, they're afraid too. And I start to embrace them. I start to see them. I get to be curious about them. That is part of the message of that story, I think, right? As I pull it close, my tendency is going to be to push it away. Remember Deveja from the Letting Go series. But instead, if I can pull it up toward me, when I pull it up toward me, something of that fear releases, right? Yes?
Well, and I actually go looking for single solo people standing there that might be feeling like me or worse than me or more uncomfortable than me. It's really easy to have that conversation.
So it's like those pale green pants. It's like, oh, they're just scared like I am, right? So I'm starting to, instead of pushing them away, I'm starting to create connection and I'm starting to understand that they're not so different. I'm not, in the university, we'd call that othering, like that other, that are other and foreign and different and So just like, and this applies in so many areas. There's more pieces in around this, but like Marie with Bali, it's like, wow, I haven't done a webinar before, so I'm so frightened, so I can't do this. Like, oh, wait, this is familiar. Like those pale green pants as I put the arms around, this is familiar. I've already done pieces of this. I bring it closer to me, and I'm not so scared anymore. So I start to create connection, right? So loving kindness, leading with heart and understanding that that other thing isn't so different from something else that I can connect it to from before. All right. It's one piece that I want to take from that, but I want to take this to another level again. And I think, yes, we have time still to do this. There's another piece again that I will add to you. Another piece I want to read to you or show you that's going to add a whole other level to this of, and again, with, I hope, very practical results for you, but what do I do when I'm walking networking? What do I do when I'm on stage? What do I do in those moments when that comes up, right? Because that's where our company actually moves. That's when we actually make a difference and get out there and do things, right? Wait, I just got to find out my notes here. Give me a sec. So how do we actually embrace those pale green pants then? Like that's actually, can you hear that that's part of the problem or that's part of the question? Once I can learn, this is a very profound teaching point. It sounds like, oh, it's Dr. Seuss and what does this have to do with business, Michelle? But if I can learn to embrace in whatever form those pale green pants, I'm way ahead of the game. Am I making sense? If Marie can embrace that moment, if Mary Kay can go, wait a second, more people are coming to me and they're asking me for stuff. And if I can actually just embrace that moment, not by driving myself into the dust, that's not the teaching I'm saying at all. Remember Grace's point about that self-care piece, but instead embracing what is with like the subtitle, I think it is, or it's one of the names of one of Sharon Salzberg's book, with a heart as wide as the world. So how can I open my heart? Or share, like as Sherry Huber says, I can make those circles bigger and bigger so I can allow it to encompass everything. Can I make a circle that's so big that I can encompass that moment of insecurity when I'm walking in the room networking? Or what if nobody shows up and or the wrong people show up or whatever it is, or don't make the sale, et cetera, et cetera. And so it was Carly's question especially. It was very intense in Carly. I remember last week there were others of you asking it too, but it's like, what do I do with this moment then, Michelle, right? How do I not hang on to that old story, or how to create something new, or what do I do with that, still that fear? She was talking about a difficult situation she was in before. So how, you know, there's this residual fear. And if I carry that on, it's going to carry into my other conversations and so on. How do I change that? And I promised that there'd be an antidote today. Do you remember that from the call last week? An antidote to that. And this is a practice that I alluded to in Mexico. I don't think we did the deep dive teaching on it this year. But this is something that, this is a practice that changed my life when my daughter was little, when there were a bunch of scary things that were happening in my life. And it has changed my company. It's changed my life and my world. And it's a form of meditation. Now, I don't do the meditation practice, the formal practice these days very often anymore, but I use it probably daily in my life. Not daily, certainly weekly. And I used it as a practice for at least a couple of years, probably mostly daily. And I have that foundation behind me. And it's at the heart of Marie. You were there all 3 years. I taught an entire week-long retreat about it, and 3 years in a row, Marie, you were there every year. There were others who were there every year as well. And so it's something that I've done a deep, deep dive into, and it's changed my world. And there was a big heart of a bunch of fear when that came, like a whole bunch of things I was super afraid of at the time. And it's like, it just transformed things. If it can transform things in a massive level with some crazy fear and crazy hatred and crazy pushing away, then certainly it can do so when somebody just says, I'm not sure if your program's for me, or whatever it is that we run into that sometimes can take us out. If you understand at this moment that that simple sentence can take you out, sometimes that or a sentence like it, raise your hand. I'm raising my hand here. Yeah. So like if it goes for the kind of big guns, then won't it work for those moments as well? And I want to read to you another story. This you can find online with Sharon Salzberg. And this is the way she tells the story. And this it's a form of meditation called metta. Metta means loving kindness. And again, it's very, very powerful. Let me just tell you the story first, and then I'll tell you how we do this, and also the transformation it made in Sharon Salzberg's life. So she says, the practice of loving kindness. It's said that the Buddha first taught loving kindness. And again, I'm not a Buddhist. You don't have to be a Buddhist to make use of this, all right? It's said that the Buddha first taught loving kindness or metta meditation as an antidote to fear. So hopefully your ears perk up at this, all these fear moments. An empowering story always has, if you think the hero of a journey always has to get through that, how do we get through that? An empowering story always has that. It's said that the Buddha first taught loving kindness or metta meditation as an antidote to fear. According to legend, he sent a group of monks off to meditate in a forest that was inhabited by tree spirits. The tree spirits resented the monks' presence, so they decided to scare them away. Here's the forest again, right? We're as human beings afraid of the forest and the animals that lurk inside there, right? Historically, it's embedded in ourselves, right? There's a saber-toothed tiger that's going to eat us, or the, you know, lion or whatever it is. So these tree spirits transformed themselves into ghoulish visions, made terrible shrieking sounds, and created awful smells. The monks, appropriately terrified, fled the forest. Please, Lord Buddha, they begged, send us to meditate in some other forest. Don't make me go there. The Buddha said, I'm going to send you back to the very same forest, but this time I'll give you the only protection you need. And so the Buddha gave the first ever teaching of metta meditation. He encouraged the monks to recite the phrases of metta, but more important, to actually do the heartfelt practice of loving kindness. Like many such stories, this one has a happy ending. It's said that the monks returned to the forest and practiced metta. The tree spirits were so moved by the energy of loving kindness they generated that they decided they quite liked the monks being there after all. They decided to serve and protect them. Whether this parable is literally true, its inner meaning endures. A mind filled with fear can be penetrated by the quality of loving kindness. Moreover, a mind filled with loving kindness cannot be overcome by fear. To me, Dr. Seuss and Sharon Salzberg are on the same page. Can you hear it? The pale green pants don't make me go there. Oh, wait. Let me embrace them. A whole different experience ensues. So, what do you make of why does this matter to you if it matters? Have I conveyed that? Why would this sentence matter to you? These two sentences, a mind filled with fear can be penetrated by the quality of loving kindness. Moreover, a mind filled with loving kindness cannot be overcome by fear. Why would this matter to you and your company and your world? If it doesn't matter, why would we listen further? Yeah, Marie.
Wow, that was a zinger. So what I'm hearing is when I'm in a strategy session, for example, or just having a conversation with somebody, when I'm in the energy of loving kindness and just being present, whatever the fears are of the person I'm with, it's like the love will get through. So that's really interesting because I've had more people attracted to the work that I do. And I've been a bit curious about that. And it's also at a time when I've made a deeper commitment to my meditation practice. So, duh, go figure. It's just fascinating how this call is coming at this time.
Thank you, Marie. This is why another reason that I ask you to start your day with Shavasana, 5 minutes, like 5 minutes at the beginning of your day. There are more things that result from this. And so the more people being attracted, and I've been doing this meditation, and how can I want to add to that too, like in the energy of what Marie's saying, like how can I have that as the foundation of my company? Entrepreneurs are risk takers. They need to be. We need to be. Make sense? When we have this at the foundation, this is how we do that without having a heart attack or, you know, jumping and quitting or diving in the other direction or thinking that, it, you know, we have to do it this other way because all this tightness is coming because somebody says it has to be like this. And the circles, like Sherry Huber says, like, and embrace it all and have this at the foundation. And then I don't have to run away from the forest. I can step in there like Marie stepping toward the Bali webinar and then the next one or whatever it is that she next needs to do. Embracing all of that with loving kindness. So I know we need to wrap up the call fairly soon. It's already coming up to an hour and a half. But what I want to do is give you this piece of it. And then I did tell you that I was going to juxtapose. There's going to be another piece that I'm going to give you that comes in from a whole different area. It's going to add a whole other layer about the inner story and what we do about that to create huge shifts in our companies and our lives. And we'll get to that next week in our next loving kindness call. But the piece that I want to give you is, okay, well, that's all fine and dandy. And this was the antidote, but what do we actually do? And the meditation, the loving kindness meditation is very simple. And I use it all the time. And it was given to me by my teacher. It's been handed down for generations. And the words are extremely deceptively simple, but I want to give them to you before we go today so you can practice with it. And I just realized, actually, Marie, can I put this in your hands? I happen to have just one of my regular cups mugs today, but I want to be next time drinking out of the other of my other mug. Will you just put the question in Story Freedom Academy that says, Michelle, will you bring your mug, please? And you know what I'm talking about, of course. Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. So, the words are deceptively simple, but here's what happened to Sharon Salzberg when she started doing it. She was doing this meditation for a month. She was supposed to, right? This, and I'll show you how to do it in a minute, but here's what happened. So the first week, what you do is you send loving kindness in different ways. And the first week she just did it for herself because that's the beginning of the loving kindness meditation. She said, what a waste. Because it's just about me and I want to be bigger than that. And it's, it should be to all my enemies and all those hard things out there. Where's my pale green pants? Show me that. And you know, right? She didn't say pale green pants, but that was the idea. I got to be tough and I got to be bigger and I got to, you know. So, but she did love and kindness for herself for a week and then she was called away. So she missed out in sending it to bigger in a bigger way into the world. And she said, well, that's a waste. It's just me. It's only for me. That's stupid. All week of meditation wasted because it's only the foundation. Nothing has changed. And then she, I can't remember what she dropped. It was a soap, you know, some soap or a vase or something, right? And as she was, you know, leaving to go and she dropped it and she said, and she heard what she said in her head and her head said, oh, you're such a klutz, but I love you. You're such a klutz, but I love you as she dropped this thing. And she's like, where did that voice come from? Where did that voice of kindness come from inside me? Because that's not the usual voice, the klutz part, you know, I'm like that. But yeah, but you know, it was the embrace everything. Even that statement, I guess, too, you know, you're such a klutz and I love you. This moment is all okay. Embrace everything. And she felt that she'd done this for an entire week and saw no effect whatsoever. Nothing is changing. I'm just saying these stupid words. And she's even, you know, she's a Buddhist meditator. And she thought, like, dumb, stupid, nothing's happening. And a radical interchange in a week. And then what would happen when we walk in networking? Then what would happen when we're speaking? If I got you at least curious about what these powerful words are, I hope. If you're at least a little curious about what these powerful words are, raise your hand. Okay, good. So I set up the story well. Right? Now we set up stories in that way, like different parts of the community, right? We get to that in different ways, different times. make sure you register for Story Freedom, right? It's one piece, right? Very simple words. Let me just give them to you this week. And will one of you post that to make sure that I remember where we are in this? Because I want to give you more about how to use this. But you can start using it right away, but I want to give you a little more. And the question would just say, Michelle, teach us the next steps in the loving kindness meditation. Thank you, Marie. And you could just say, we got started just at the end. Then I'll know where we left off. So the words are different depending on which teacher teaches you, but these are the words that I love the best. And they're so simple. It's deceptive. They're so simple that then we don't do it and then we don't get the results. All you got to do is just sit, quiet your mind. You practice that in Shavasana and be seated. And the words go like this. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. That's it. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Sharon Salzberg did a version of that for a week, thought nothing had happened. And in just a week, think of a lifetime of inner stories that are crazy and bad and that don't, that bad in the terms of not skillful, that don't help us. And in a week, this is transformed inside of her. And then we can go to other pieces of the meditation, to other purposes, and extend out those circles in bigger and bigger ways that I'll show you how to do next time. But I wanted you to be able to use this already this week if you choose. So in order to do this, again, just sit. You can take 5 minutes. You do it right after Shavasana if you want to. Shavasana at the beginning of your day, add 5 more minutes or even 3 minutes just to start, or even do it once, a couple times this week. Try it out. But I would suggest you do it every day. Do 5 minutes of Shavasana at the beginning of the day, and then 5 minutes right after that, the metta meditation, just saying those words. You don't have to conjure any special feeling. You don't have to have them mean anything. You don't have to make it do anything. Just say the words. Just let, like, hold, as though you're holding them there in a teaspoon in front of you or something. Just like, just holding them there. Just say them. Don't worry if it's fast or slow, or just then start over again and say them again. And that's it. And this is the practice that, according to the Buddhist tradition, again, I'm not a Buddhist, but it has changed my life. A mind filled with fear can be penetrated by the quality of loving kindness. Moreover, a mind filled with loving kindness cannot be overcome with fear. When you are armed with this, I hate to use a military metaphor, but it's what came up in me. When you are armed with this and it becomes a practice and you bump into the next thing that you're afraid of. I don't know if anybody will ever buy my stuff. I don't know if I can go to the next level of business. I don't know if I have time to serve all the people that are now coming to me, whatever level the question is. I don't know if I know what the core message is that I'm supposed to say in my talk. I don't know if the people will come next time. I don't know now that they've come to the blah, 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 blah. Thank you for sharing mind. All of that can begin to be deeply unplugged by this simple act. If you think that's powerful, and don't raise your hand if you don't think so, I want to see if I found the words to say it. If that sounds powerful to you, and if you think that that could actually make a real change in your company, in how you bump into those places of fear, and how you get to that empowerment, so if you think that could make a change, raise your hand. Okay, we got there. Thank you. We didn't even get to all the pieces that I wanted to get to today. We'll get there next time. We did a deep dive into Mary Kay's question. And Grace, I asked you about Jasmine's question. And I think what I'm going to do, because I'm still waiting for Jasmine to arrive, and she didn't say that it was an urgent question. So Jasmine, forgive me if I haven't got to your question yet. I'm going to answer it next time I see her live or by next week. Grace, will you do that for me, please? And say, answer Jasmine's question this coming week, no matter what, right? So if she's not able to be here, then I will make sure I answer that. And Marie, go ahead.
Well, Jasmine posted in our Facebook group saying that her laptop had decided to do something odd and she wasn't able to get on. So
that's why, because the last time I checked, I saw the Facebook form last night, but I didn't see that latest note. So
yeah, she said it was working last night, but for some reason it wasn't today.
Got it. Hi, Jasmine. So, so okay, perfect. And yeah, we'll make sure to answer that next time. I made that judgment call, but wanted to do that deep dive into Mary Kay's question, and we'll have a better answer for Jasmine's question. In fact, Jasmine, I think you could probably answer the question now from what I've been teaching, but we'll go into it explicitly so that we can make sure to answer that fully. All right. So anything else that we're out of time for today. So I suggest that you try this. Who's going to try this out at least once this week? Simple words. This is the real answer. Quite a few of you, most of you. Super cool. All right. So, and will someone post a thread in the Facebook forum about, hey, who's trying out the meta meditation? And don't look for effects, by the way. Please don't look for effects. All right. Who's gonna post it? Hey, who's trying the meta meditation? Thank you, Donna. So anybody have any comments about it? And don't look for effects. Like I said, these words, what happened? It's like pulling the carrot out before it's had a time to grow. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, how come there's nothing there yet? All right. So don't look for anything. That would be raga attachment. Is going to cause suffering. Just do it to do it. Give yourself the time and space and just be enjoy the moment of it, that you have that peaceful time for yourself that is away from others, where you're not having to do anything, and just trust that you know it has its effect. And maybe you won't see it for a long time, maybe you'll see it for tomorrow, but it doesn't really matter. When you hold it with that space, that's a really, really productive way to be about that. All right, so have fun with that. Will somebody ask me next time too? We're going to go to ahas just right away, but will somebody post a question for me? Who will post another question for me? And the question is, Michelle, how do you do that when you're driving? Because I don't want you to do that meditation when you're driving, but there's a way that I use that, right? With traffic, because the traffic can mess up your strategy session. Will somebody post that question so I'll remember to address that? Michelle, how do you use this loving kindness meditation when driving? Who will post that for me? Somebody, please. Will somebody post that? Thank you, Marie. Okay, awesome. Remember to post your other questions. Remember, we've got a Q&A call this afternoon in just a little while. And remember that one you can bring your friends to. It's not too late for them to register, I don't think. So looking forward to seeing some of you. How many of you are going to be? I know some of you have registered for that call. How many of you are going to be with us again at 3:00 my time? Yeah, a number of you. Okay, great. So questions continue. So let's end with one aha and one inspired action so we can take this out into the world. And we're going to have these really super quick because, just always block out 2 hours for this. You guys know me, right? Donna, you're first. One aha, one inspired action, something checkoffable so we know we're actually bringing something of this out into our real worlds.
I really like the concept of the meta. And that was kind of profound for me, thinking out first and then figuring it out after. And that is absolutely on my to-do list. I choose that for the rest of the week. Well, I choose it.
Love it. Thank you, Donna. Beautiful. Yep. Landed. Yes. Yay. Cindy, you're up.
The concept of the kaleidoscope took on a totally different meaning for me today. And it allowed me to write something that... is really helpful for me. And my inspired action is I was planning on creating a recording for myself once this call is done, and I'm going to add the meta meditation to it.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. Very concrete, very tangible, and something that you're doing right now that you can add to. I love it. And thank you, Cindy. And I love that you said the kaleidoscope. One of the things I'm going to teach you next time, too, is some of the structures that have been built inside of us that we're undoing, because I want to become, when we can see the structures that have been built inside of us that are counter to this, then we know what to do with them. So I want to show you a piece of that as well. And then once again, the deeper level of the antidote of a loving kindness meditation for that. So some other pieces that will help set us free, right? This company's called Story Free, and that will help set us free from these old patterns and retrace new patterns that really can bring huge and very different results. Thank you, Cindy. Love it. Like the kaleidoscope, changing the pattern. Well, what is the pattern that we're at right now? And that will help us, not quite the right metaphor in this case with the kaleidoscope, but it's going to help us to shift it when we even know that it's a kaleidoscope and that it has a pattern. All right. Thank you, Cindy. Beautiful. Marie, if you didn't understand those last words, don't worry. I'll explain it next week. I went pretty fast. Marie, go ahead.
The reminder that a mind filled with fear can be penetrated by love.
Mm-hmm.
Inspired action. I'm in the midst of writing a new post about my Bali retreat, and so I'm actually going to build in a piece around loving kindness as a foundation for what I do.
Love it. Thank you, Marie. Yeah, this is going very concretely into your worlds. I love it. Thank you. Sergio, one aha, one inspired action.
The thing about mind filled with loving kindness cannot be overcome with fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the metta meditation before this call started. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to modify it again and add some of the things you put in there.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And there are very different versions of the metta meditation, and I like some better than others. You can choose the words that work for you, but I've used these ones for years and I find them very, very powerful. Yeah. Thank you, Sergio. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Marla, you're up.
Oh, there were so many points today. I think the point about just when you're meeting new people or something, just being curious.
You sound really far away to me, Marla, so maybe just lean in a little.
That when you're going into a room of people, there's something that you just think about how curious you are about them.
Yes, I love it. It was one application of what we were talking about here and perfect for you. Yes, thank you, Marla. And one, and your inspired action.
Is to do the loving kindness meditation.
Yes, love it. Thank you. And I love that. That curiosity piece came from Donna. Thank you. Look, there's going to be so much that you all bring to the table. Keep connecting with each other so that you take all this to the next level. Please keep connecting with each other. We're not doing the triads at the end of this, but doesn't stop you from connecting in all the ways that you know you can. All right, Grace, you're up.
I think continuously expand a broader circle for acceptance, mm-hmm. and love, and regardless of the situation. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm going to do the meditation every day and invite a recent client to do it as well.
Ah, love it. Another beautiful application. Yes, thank you. Cheryl, you're up.
My aha is meditating is an antidote to fear. Mm-hmm. And then to do the loving kindness meditation.
Yeah. You guys all, I know you heard. You really heard. Makes me very happy. It's a very short time to get across something really hugely profound and transformative. Thank you. Mary Kay, you're up if you're still in a place where you can speak. Oh, there you are.
Oh, okay. So my aha is that fear is within my own perception. And when I'm in loving presence, it doesn't exist, but it can come in and out. And if there's legitimate fear, it will definitely come in.
And this is so close to, you know, loving presence with horses is so in line with the what you're teaching. And I hear you with a really nuanced understanding of what's going on. It's really, really beautiful. Yeah. It's going to enter into your teaching. I'm sure it already does. Beautiful. Yes. What's your inspired action, Mary Kay?
I'm going to include the, I have my own metta that I've actually, it's in my course. I'm going to lift it from my course and use it to attract strategy calls.
Beautiful. And you know, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. For the right person, when they're ready, if they get it, that can be perfect way to decorate the door. All depends on who they are and how they're coming in. You can ask me more questions about that. If it's in your heart to do, go for it. And then let us know how it turned out, because you're heading back toward those strategy sessions this week again, which I'm so thrilled about, Mary Kay. Sound good?
Yeah, and I have a list of people that will as narrowed down for the be attracted by that kind of thing.
Yes, if they've already been exposed to that and you know who they are and they look perfect for the right people, yes, absolutely. Fantastic work, everybody. Have a fantastic week. Have a fantastic 3/4 of an hour. Some of you, I'll see you. I believe it's a different link. I'll see you in 3/4 of an hour, and I'll see you again. Lots of time for space for questions. See you soon, everybody. Bye-bye for now.